Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
This is an honor. And hey, y'all. Thank you. I love you too so much. And I was going to say something about the Brockmans, and I know we have another family as well that's kind of dealing with this right now. Some of you may have seen Pastor John's social media posts, which might be why you're watching online today. You're like, I'm not going there. We're glad to have you online today, and we know that Jesus is meeting you in your home, wherever you're experiencing this. We have been, since August 16th, in this season of focused prayer. This Dwell Church is a house of prayer. That is one of our five pillars, prayer. And this is a house built on prayer, but Pastor David on August 16th declared these next 80 days, 80 days of prayer leading up to, of course, leading up to the election. And we know there's so much division in our nation right now. And so we don't pray for what we want. We pray, will of God come, kingdom of God come. And so as I was just preparing this week, the scripture that initially was resonating in my heart, and you all, if you've been in the church for very long, I'm trying to get away from saying you know the scripture, because many of you may not know the scripture. But for those of you who have been in the church, you know James chapter 5, verse 16, and I'm going to read just this part. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that was just so brewing in my heart, and I was just, effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective means producing a decided, decisive, or desired effect, or ready for service or action. I like that. Fervent means very hot, glowing, exhibiting or marked by great intensity or feeling. May we pray effective, hot prayers that reach the throne of God. The Message translation says it this way: the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. The Passion translation says, tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Yes. So I want to know, how do I pray that kind of prayer? How can I pray prayers that avail much? Prayer that must be reckoned with. Prayer that produces results. And so I just started reflecting on the men and women of God in my life who have made an impact on my life through their prayers. I think, you know, a lot of us have been impacted by generations that have gone before us, the prayers that they have prayed for us. And so I'm just going to briefly touch on some of those folks. And I was reflecting on those people in my life, those prayers in my life, I thought, and then after I studied, I really began to dig into the book of Revelation, so we're going to go there. So worship was just so perfect to set up what God is going to say today. But I decided I would call this message the Prayer of the Saints. So first, let's establish what a saint is, because some of us may feel like we're excluded when we hear the word saint. The saints are not an elite class of people who are more holy than the rest. They are not mediators of our prayers. They do not ask us to pray to them. The word saint means one who is sanctified or set apart for God. It is not a statement of one's spiritual status that only a few Christians can attain. I hope this encourages you like it encouraged me. On the contrary, a saint is anyone who has a living relationship with God through his mercy and grace expressed in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, every Christian is a saint, okay? Got it? You don't have to be a perfect person to be called a saint. Every believer is a saint. So we're going to talk about the prayers of the saints today. When I think about the people whose prayers have impacted my life, I immediately think of my grandparents on my mother's side. I had amazing grandparents on both sides, my mom and dad. But my papa, mama and papa is what I called them, and they were powerful. God used them mightily. They planted two churches in their lifetime. My grandfather, after he resigned his pastoral position in his probably 60s, I don't know, he began to travel and evangelize, and his passion was seeing people filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember, Cole, why don't you go ahead and put that picture up? So this is me and my grandfather, Papa, Reverend Denver Baker. Cole is actually named after him. His name is Denver Cole Binion, and that is Reverend Denver L. Baker right there at 90 years of age. This was just a few weeks before he went to be with Jesus. And you can just leave that up there for a minute. I remember him coming to our house and sitting in our kitchen and coming over. They lived not far from us, and so he would come over and just sit and have a cup of coffee and talk to my mom in the kitchen. And I remember him talking so passionately about, oh, we saw 20 people filled with the Holy Spirit on Sunday. It was so amazing. God moved so powerfully. And, this is the man. He dedicated me when I was a baby. He baptized me in water when I was a young girl. He prayed over us. He was a part of our wedding ceremony. And then this is actually him praying over me. Not just a few weeks before he passed. But we would never leave their house. We would go to visit Mama and Papa, even after David and I were married, and we would bring Cole and Gracie, were just little, and we would go there, and you would never leave my grandparents' house without first circling up and praying before we left, praying protection, praying that God would be with us as we all, left each other's company. And so these were praying people. And I want to be a person who invites God into every moment. I don't want to feel awkward to just say, you know what, let's just pray right now. We're going to pray right now. And we want Dwell Church to be those kind of people that are, as the effective definition said here, let me find it. It said, ready for service or action. Let's be ready to pray. So I miss hearing him pray. I remember him praying before holiday gatherings, and he was so eloquent, but also so powerful. So my papa, my aunt, my mom's older sister, I remember she prayed for me. I was about 9 or 10 years of age, and I grew up in a little Assembly of God church until I was about 12 years of age. And I remember one Sunday night, back when we had Sunday night service and we had, altar time. And I remember my aunt praying with me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is available for all of us, by the way. And I remember her just saying, lift your hands, just worship him. Say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And I remember as being a young girl, those words, I love you, Jesus, turned into this beautiful language of prayer. And actually that night I remember, some of you may have experienced this in your life. Actually, I was out in the Spirit for a while. I just remember being this young girl, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm waking up on the floor of the church. Most everyone was gone, and except for my family. And the Spirit of the Lord did a powerful work in my heart as just a young girl that night. I remember being a teenager, and you can go ahead and, Cole, you can go ahead and put our Isn't that precious? I love that photo. But I remember being a teenager, and the church, we transitioned churches when I was a teenager, and we went to this large, non-denominational, diverse church where I really learned, I saw a lot of fervent prayer in that church. And I remember I was in our choir, and it's a church where David and I got married. And back in those days, like in the early 90s, we didn't even really have like sound checks, I don't think, before church started. But I'll tell you what we did have. We had a prayer room where the choir met and prayed and interceded together before the service began. And those men and women of God knew how to call on the name of Jesus. And they were not quiet about it either. And it made me desire to be a person of prayer like I saw. This past year has been, God has really been doing a deep personal work in my life. And I've come to know the Lord in such a precious, like very personal way this year. And he has opened up my heart and my spirit to prayer in a way I've never known before. So as I reflected on all these saints in my life, I started thinking and researching what happens to the prayers of the saints. I've heard it said, you know, our prayers live on forever, right? I believe that my grandparents' prayers that they prayed, the prayers that we pray according to the will of God, we've heard, and I'm going to get to it here in a minute, are incense in the throne of heaven, right? And they live on. They continue to work even when our loved ones are gone and with the Lord. Those prayers are alive. And I feel like if we really knew the power of prayer, I don't think we would have such difficulty finding time to do it. There is so much unrest in our nation, in the earth. There is so much pain and suffering. Tanner was referencing it when he came up here. I don't know if you have felt it. I know many of you have felt it personally. But it's like at times you can just feel the weight of the world and what is happening all around us. The pain. But we must know the power of what prayer does. If we want to see injustice die, pray. If we want to see Jesus return and his kingdom be established on this broken planet, pray. So as I was studying this week, I spent a ton of time in the book of Revelation, which I've read before in my yearly, you know, I do my best to try to read the Bible through every year. My husband is always on this reading plan, and we encourage you to do it. And it's an incredible thing to be able to say, man, I read through the Word in 1 year, the entire Bible, all of it. But I've never spent a focused amount of time in the book of Revelation. But I have had some young adults in my life starting to ask questions about the end of the age. Because as we look at what's happening all around us, it does seem like the return of Jesus is near. So I was so moved this week as I read it. And I highly recommend that you spend some time in the book of Revelation too. Don't be scared of it. Dive in and read it through the lens of relationship with Jesus. Read it as the bride who is so ready for his return. Oh, I wholeheartedly believe we are beginning to experience the birth pains Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24, verse 4. He said, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." Do you have the scripture back there? Matthew 24:4. If you do, I just want them to see it. Let's see. Give it a second. If they don't, I like for you to see it when I read it. But that's okay. We'll keep moving. Such things must happen. Oh, I want to read this again. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes and pestilences in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. There it is. So we're going to dig into the book of Revelation and find out the role of the prayers of the saints in the return of the King of Kings to the planet. Do y'all want to find out about that? Do you want to find out that your prayers, it's not just here in the moment, and if I get an answer here in this lifetime, but what happens to your prayers? Jesus is returning. We don't talk about this very much in the church anymore, but he is returning, and he will banish all ungodliness and unbelief from the earth into hell. He will gather his elect from all the nations to establish justice and righteousness and peace and joy on the earth forever. And he will be worshiped with white-hot affection until the end. He will. I know this is heavy today, and I've been carrying this all week, but Jesus, the one we live for, the one we worship, are you excited as I am to see him face to face? Jesus, you will be worshiped without end. So what happens to the prayers of the saints? First thing is, our prayers are incense before the throne. And I'm going to read Revelation 5. I'm going to read the whole chapter, so hang with me, okay? Because I want you to hear the language of the book of Revelation. We're going to focus on Revelation 5 verse 8, but I'm going to read the entire chapter. If I can, with my context. Here we go. Okay. Is this, okay, awesome. Is this a New King James Version? Okay, cool. I'm in the wrong, no wonder. Hold on a second. I'll just read it here. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." Go ahead to verse 8. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Keep going. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue,'" go to the next verse, "'and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." That'll make you want to read the book of Revelation. So Revelation 5:8. We're gonna focus on that. "Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So you need to understand that God established incense as a part of the priesthood system in Exodus 30, when Moses was told to build the altar of incense. The prayers of the saints in Revelation 5:8 should be understood to take the role of incense in the temple, which was to offer up a sweet aroma to God and to symbolize prayer. The prayers of the righteous are pleasing to him. Psalm 141:2 describes this aspect of prayer perfectly. It says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." The fact that these are prayers of the saints in Revelation 5:8 indicates that God hears the prayers of his people. Psalm 65:2 addresses God as "you who answers prayer." Proverbs 15:29 says the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous, which means he listens to the prayers of the saints. I know sometimes it feels like your prayers are hitting the ceiling. But take heart. He inclines his ear to you. And he hears the prayers of his people. What happens to the prayers of the saints? This is where I'm landing today. This is the second thing. But this is what God just wrecked me with this week. Our prayers are the instrument God uses to usher in the end of the age. What you pray here, it doesn't end when you say it here on the earth. Okay, we're going to read Revelation chapter 8, just 5 verses, not the whole chapter. But I want to say, I am no scholar of the book of Revelation, okay? The Lord has just so illuminated this to me this week just through relationship with him. And as I find myself in this 45th year of my life, I feel such a drawing to the word of God. And if you were here when Pastor Hank and Brenda Kuhneman were here and he prophesied over me about teaching the word of God, and I just weeks before had shared with David that I feel like I am preparing for like the second act of my life, because I have such a hunger for the word of God, and I've always loved the word of God, but it's like I just want to sit for hours and discover the treasure in his word. And so I'm going to try to set this up so that you understand what's happening. If you've never read this before, if you're like, all this end time stuff just confuses me and I just don't even, you know, understand it. I'm going to go through quickly, because in chapter 8, the seventh seal, there are seven seals that the Lamb, Jesus, the slain Lamb of God, was the only one worthy to open. So the first seal that he opened, this is in the chapters preceding chapter 8. The first seal reveals a white horse going forth to conquer. The second seal reveals a red horse that stands for war. The third seal reveals a black horse that represents famine. The fourth seal is a pale horse representing death by pestilence. The fifth seal, John, who wrote the book of Revelation, gets a glimpse of the souls of the Christian martyrs, the ones who died. The sixth seal brings us close to the end as we get into the beginning of the birth pains with cosmic disturbances. Okay, now we're ready for Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to expound for a minute, and then we're going to read 2 through 5, okay? So Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So I hear somebody's phone. I got these in-ears in. Okay. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to expound. We're going to talk about that silence for a second. After he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. During this silence, what happens? Are y'all with me? Y'all still with me? You want to know what happens? Why is there silence for half an hour? Perhaps the hosts of heaven stand in awe with what is about to happen with the opening of the scroll. But there is more than awe in this silence. It's as if God wants to show something to John about the role of the saints, the Christians. In all this tremendous upheaval in history, up until now, the breaking of the seals has simply shown the awesome sovereignty of God controlling history and all its cataclysmic disasters. But now God has something else to show us. What is our place in this? Do we have any role to play at all? There's an Australian Bible scholar, his name was Leon Morris, and he put it like this. The saints appear insignificant to men at large, but in the sight of God, they matter. Even great cosmic cataclysms are held back on their account. And the praises of the angels give way to silence so that the saints may be heard. The praises of the angels give way to silence so that your prayers may be heard. All of the prayers, all of those who have gone before us, generations, 2,000 years of prayers. Man, this wrecked me this week. So let's continue in Revelation 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer that's filled with the incense and our prayers. He filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. The astonishing thing about this text is that it portrays the prayers of the saints as the instrument God uses to usher in the end of the world with great divine judgments. It pictures the prayers of the saints accumulating on the altar before the throne of God until the appointed time when they are taken up like fire from the altar and thrown upon the earth to bring about the consummation of God's kingdom. What we have in this text is an explanation of what has happened to the millions upon millions of prayers over the last 2,000 years as the saints have cried out again and again, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Not one of these prayers prayed in faith has been ignored. Not one is lost or forgotten. Not one has been ineffective or pointless. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. They have all been gathering on the altar before the throne of God. And the flame has been growing brighter and brighter and more pleasing in the presence of God. And the time will come when God will command his holy angel to take his mighty censer and fill it with fire from the altar where the prayers burn before the Lord and pour it out on the world to bring all of God's great and holy purposes to completion, signifying that the hosts of heaven and the prayers of the saints are one great unified act of worship. This means not one God-exalting prayer has ever been in vain. Not one on earth as it is in heaven has been wasted. Baby, you want to come up with me? This is not long today. I'm wrapping it up. But this hit me so hard this week, and sometimes it feels like we're praying, we're crying out. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he's so good to us that he cares about our little needs. He cares about our little lives. And so he put in there, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation. He cares so much about us that he allows us to pray, Father, don't let me fall into temptation. Deliver me from evil. But then we end up with the surrender. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So today, once again, we mingle our prayers with the prayers of the saints that have gone on before us. And we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, we ask that you would illuminate this word in our hearts. That we would see how important our prayers are, our prayers prayed according to your will. Jesus, we love you. We want to know you more. We know that you have invited us by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have given us access into the throne room. And we can come boldly before your throne. So, Father, mark our hearts today that we would accept this invitation into fellowship with you, that we would partner with you in prayer to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth in us. That we would see the return of Jesus. That he would come and set it all straight. And we're humbled to know that you care so deeply for us, and you have given us a role in this. You have given us a part to play in this. So we'll be faithful to prayer. We love you, Jesus. And the people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.